You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast.
Hello again, and thank you very much for staying with us here on SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. I'm Duduzile Ramela in for Jimmy Moyaha this evening. Not only is it an election year in South Africa, but we're marking 30 years of democracy. Corruption Watch continues to tell the story of corruption in the country. They've released their latest report titled The Impact of Corruption, Insights from a Perceptions and Experiences Survey. We speak to Melusi Ncala, Acting Lead Coordinator, Stakeholder Relations and Campaigns at Corruption Watch on this latest report. Melusi, thank you very much for your time this evening. Let's talk about how the research was conducted firstly.
Hi, Tutu, and thank you for having us. This research was conducted over a two-month period. It's a survey of a sample of about 1,500 South Africans, and it's, in terms of its representation, it's demographically spread in accordance with the country's stats. And so what we were looking at were several areas, looking at issues of confidence / trust, whistleblowing, and where people think corruption affects the most in terms of basic services and human rights. And then, of course, we also looked at experiences that people have in relation to corruption. And this was all with regards to the last 5 years.
Okay. I'd like for us to take a look at certain definitions as contained in your report. So in the foreword, you speak about grand corruption and you speak about petty corruption. Pray tell, what's the difference?
Grand corruption, we know it as the type of corruption that involves political leaders, usually huge amounts of money. Think of the SAA deal, for example, though it was 51 Rand allegedly, but in theory, such a deal, such as your Eskoms as well, involves huge amounts of corruption. It involves political leaders of the highest order. Petty corruption is often the common day type of corruption that we supposedly interact with, when people pay bribes to police officers, license officers, nurses, perhaps even doctors. That would be considered to be your common variety type of corruption, which is known as petty corruption.
Is it petty, really? We go to page 32 of your report, or maybe let's do page 31. So it speaks of experiences of corruption, contact with officials or intermediaries within the last 5 years. So you take a look, for instance, on page 32 of gifts given to officials. You've mentioned the police, but you've got judges, magistrates at court, prosecutors, public utility officers, electricity, water, sanitation, when you speak of basic services, right? So nurses, you spoke of nurses, teachers, lecturers as well at public and private schools. And so when you take a look at this, judges, we're speaking about the law, right? You're speaking about healthcare. How is this petty?
It's not petty in the sense that it's nonsensical to do. It's only considered in that particular way by those in the anti-corruption discourse to kind of just emphasize that it's so commonplace that people deem it not to be of the same level as the grand political type of corruption. But it's quite serious. It's very important. It should be dealt with, and it raises a lot of concern and alarm for activists such as myself and others.
Let's talk about sticking with petty corruption, and I do take your point, right? How much of a responsibility should South Africans shoulder, right? For every corrupt person, there is a corrupter as well. And so if you are stopped by a traffic official so that you won't get a ticket for 700 Rand, you'll take out or you'll pop up that 20 Rand so that you will not get prosecuted. You'll make the docket disappear through monies, etc. And so it goes. But how much of a responsibility should we shoulder? Yes, grand corruption, we get the concept.
A lot.
But you and I, how much of a role do we play in fueling this?
A lot. I mean, we play a significant role. Essentially, we subscribe to this very same patronage and corrupt system that we lament on a daily basis by simply not wanting to take a responsibility. What we're doing is to emulate the behaviors of those that we scorn on every day, to say that they are unethical, they're not accountable. But with ease, when we are stopped at a traffic at a roadblock, then we easily just want to pop out this type of money. But when you look at these stats, though, you know, about 20 to 24% of people at least admitted to this from a sample of 600 to 700 people, and even less admitted to paying bribes to magistrates and judges.
Why? Is it wanting that VIP treatment?
No, I think it's more about trying to access services. There's this perception that, you know, wealthy people have it easy and they get away with a lot. And when you think about a mother trying to put her child into a school, and they're told that they can't put their child in the school because they don't fall within that radius. However, this mother knows that this is the only school or the best school that she can afford for her child, then she's likely to keep to take out that 50 Rand or 100 Rand to an official just to register her child in that school. So these are the type of occurrences about how resources are spread, who receives these resources, and also bearing in mind that richer people who are deemed to be rich, they are more likely to pay for their services, whereas poor people often don't even have that privilege.
When we take a look at gifts given to officials, police officers, the amount of respondents that said they give gifts came in at 24%. And then you take a look at the least corrupt, if you will, teachers, lecturers at public and private institutions, where 4% of people said that they give gifts. What kind of gifts are these?
This would be food. It would be presents, jewelry, I guess. But most of it is money, in generally, because they're seeking favor. They want to be looked upon favorably by these people that they interact with, whether to get marks or to get good grades so that they can make it to the next level. It varies.
What is the most amount of money that was spent when we speak about petty corruption in any category? What was the most amount of money spent?
Unfortunately, I don't have those stats at hand. That was not particularly mentioned. Okay. But I do know from other data that from Corruption Watch whistleblower accounts, which is this report is not. For example, people it will depend on the type of corruption. But when people come from nightclubs in areas such as Sandton, on Fridays, Saturdays, police officers can look for anything upwards of 2,000, for a bribe if they catch you drinking under the influence.
And a ride on an e-hailing, security aside, depending on which one is used, would have been much cheaper. But let's take a look at this. Respondents, and this is according to your report, exhibited a notable lack of trust in various institutions, including Chapter 9 and 10 bodies, Parliament, the Presidency, and law enforcement agencies. And so, Melusi, this is how many years has this been going on in terms of the report?
We've been looking at the last 5 years.
Okay.
Bearing in mind that we've conducted other surveys of a similar nature relating to whistleblowing and the youth.
All right. In
other years, yeah.
What impact has it had? Did respondents give you a sense of, okay, we participate and we know what is happening in South Africa, but is there hope, or are we despondent?
I wouldn't say that they're completely despondent. I mean, when you look at in that very same category where Chapter 9, which is quite concerning, and Chapter 10 institutions are not being trusted as much, or people don't have confidence, the media, people have confidence in the media in terms of exposing corruption or dealing with issues of corruption. the legal fraternity, all of a sudden contrasting with previous data sets, are viewed in a positive light, and so too are our accountants. So I would say, and religious figures as well. So I would say that we are making some progress,
Okay.
in that respect. And there's, your colleagues and others, of course, are doing a commendable job in that they expose corruption and allow for these type of discussions to occur. And that is what ultimately sends a good message to people out there.
However, on page 21, you do speak, and it's something you touched on whistleblowers, right? And you touch on the perceptions on whistleblowing and protection. What are the perceptions around whistleblowing? Are people comfortable, or maybe comfortable is not even the word, and brave is not even the word, but what, I can't even find the word, but do we find that people want to come forward when we've seen the spate of killings of whistleblowers, and never mind the ones that don't even make the headlines?
Yeah, they find that, information that's often comes that is sent to state institutions is compromised, or is likely to be compromised by officials, which puts whistleblowers at risk, and hence, these institutions are not trusted when it comes to whistleblowing. And the view is that it was consistent with what some of us have been advocating for, that there needs to be reform in terms of our whistleblower legislation.
I think this on page 23 of your report, a very fascinating finding in terms of groups affected by corruption. So the demographics mostly impacted by corruption include unemployed youth, with the latest unemployment figures coming out. This is quite interesting because with 75% of respondents acknowledging their vulnerability, that's followed by women and children, individuals residing in rural areas, and people living with disabilities.
Yeah, I mean, the issue about unemployed youth, it's got to do with when they look for job opportunities, often they're asked for bribes, or they, particularly young women, are subjected to sextortion. It's for me, it doesn't really come as a surprise to see that 75%, but it is very, very worrying, and it almost reflects what the country's going through in terms of the unemployment rate.
Melusi, thank you very much for the very important work that you do and talking us through this latest report. Melusi Ngala, Acting Lead Coordinator, Stakeholder Relations and Campaigns at Corruption Watch.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.